Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
When I start to hear the stories and start to get to know our Olympic athletes, the stories of that they've overcome, the challenges, the way that they have spent their lives training to be these elite athletes, and what that means for their lives and how they dedicate their lives to that and how they spend years and years and years preparing themselves for these events. And we know that the Olympic Games are just one event that they do, you know, throughout their careers. That's not the only thing that they do, but it's certainly the biggest stage that they compete on, and it's great to see them get to do that and to share in their work. And so we thought that we would sort of tie in with that over the next several weeks and talk about how we can train for life like a champion. We're going to look at how Olympic athletes train and see how we might apply that to our own lives to get more out of our lives, to grow stronger in our faith, to gain a deeper sense of what it means to be a fully formed disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we can live into that each and every day of our lives. And so there are some aspects to training that I think are really important, I think are really key. And we may have kind of glossed over some of the other ones, and there may be other aspects to training, but I think these four really capture what it means to try to attempt to train in ways that that will allow us to be successful. We trust the philosophy, we trust the training, we trust the trainer, and we trust the team. And so we're going to talk about those four aspects of training over the next several weeks, and today we'll start with this idea of trusting the philosophy. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, I do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. I pray your strength with the messenger this morning, that these words be your words, that your good news be proclaimed. Amen. So every trainer, every coach, every program is guided by a philosophy. Philosophy is just simply a basic set of values or principles that guide the team and the athletes and the people who are being trained. You have to understand and buy into the philosophy of the organization or the team that you are a part of. Now, sometimes there's folks who want to circumvent the philosophy. They think that, you know what, I'm more talented than everybody else. I don't need the philosophy of this team. Others might say, I am more sophisticated than everyone else. I believe that the philosophy is beneath me to have to do this. But friends, the philosophy actually creates a culture that extends beyond one person or even one game or one season. The philosophy is what endures and gives identity to the team or the organization. And so athletes unite as members of a team, and in doing so, they become part of something bigger. Now, I'll confess to you that my team didn't win last week's Super Bowl, but I have to give credit to the Seattle Seahawks for having developed a philosophy that their players bought into. They're a young team, and they totally bought into the philosophy of their coaches and their management, and they competed admirably at the Super Bowl. In fact, they dominated the Super Bowl because they bought into the philosophy of the team. Now, in the church, I think the same principle is at work. In the church, we believe in the prevailing power of Jesus Christ. And the philosophy that sort of guides us is that in believing in Jesus Christ, we can trust God completely with our lives. Our lives belong to God, and we can trust God for everything that we have. We believe in God's love. We believe in God's majesty. We believe in God's grace. We believe that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Have you ever heard that before? It's from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, I love that verse. I think that verse is one of our guiding principles in our faith, but we sometimes misunderstand that verse. And so I want to look at this passage today in its context and experience the passage for what it really is. It's an invitation, really, for us to live differently. It's an invitation to experience the peace which surpasses all understanding. Trust the philosophy that in Christ we have all our needs met, but how we get there is also very important. So if you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, you can read with me. You can also see it on the screen, Philippians 4, starting at verse 10 through 13. This is the context of that verse that I just shared with you. Paul writing to the Philippians, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So the passage begins with Paul in prison. He's writing to the church in Philippi, this church that he had helped plant from a prison cell. He's been put in prison because he's been proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And the church of Philippi, this church that he helped plant, sends him a care package and delivers it to him while he's in prison. So he's got these gifts from this church in Philippi to keep him comforted and safe while he's in prison. And Paul acknowledges that he's received the gift. He thanks them for the gift, but he also uses this as an opportunity to teach this congregation something different. He says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content. And what's the secret? The secret is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can endure this suffering because of Christ. I can enjoy the blessings of the gifts that I've received because of Christ. I can be hungry, I can be impoverished, I can be at peace, I can be content. And what does this philosophy do to someone? Well, it leads to amazing faith and assurance. Because Paul's saying to the church, I'm in jail, but I have everything that I need. Why? Because in Christ and in him, I can do anything. I can bear any burden, I can face any obstacle, even in the pit of a prison cell. Paul is not concerned with what he has or what he doesn't have. He's certainly not concerned with what anyone else has or doesn't have. If he lost everything and still had Jesus, it would be enough. He had learned the secret to contentment. Now, that's a dirty word around us most of the time, contentment. Contentment seems sort of counterintuitive. You know, the Seahawks are already thinking about next year's Super Bowl. They've said as much. They're looking forward to competing again for next year's Super Bowl. They don't seem to be content at all to have enjoyed this one Super Bowl victory. But lots of players and lots of teams don't win championships. And so when we find ourselves on the losing end, we have to learn how to be content. We can still strive to be better, so there's that balance. Being content with ourselves, being content in our abilities, but also striving to do the very, very best that we can. You probably heard the story of the Olympic mogul skier who injured herself on a training run and didn't even get to compete in the actual games. As they took her off the mountain, she asked her dad, Am I still considered an Olympian? Well, of course she is. She's still skied more mogul runs and qualified for more Olympics than any of us ever have. Of course she's an Olympian, but she has to learn to be content that even though she didn't get to compete in the game she wanted as in the way that she wanted to, she still had the opportunity to go and represent her country. We have to learn how to do that. Well, we're talking about not training for the Olympics, but trying to be successful in our lives, having a successful life in Christ, not a single event or a season, not a life in which achievement is our goal, but a life that is centered in God's love. That's really what sets us apart as Christians. And so what is contentment? What does that really mean? Well, Gary Thomas defined contentment this way. He said, contentment is nothing more than soul rest. It is satisfaction, peace, assurance, and a sense of well-being that is cultivated by pursuing the right things. Instead of more power, more money, more pleasure, more control, we seek an abundance of grace and peace. So I want to ask us this morning, are our souls at rest? Most indications are that they are not. We spend a lot of money we don't have to impress people we'll never meet. To paraphrase Stephen Furtick, who's a pastor colleague of mine, we spend too much time comparing the behind-the-scenes footage of our lives to to the highlight reels of everyone else's. Well, over the last several weeks, our church has been up to some pretty important things. We've had 200 people involved in our church's Financial Peace University initiative, and we are been talking about the power of momentum in our lives, how we can achieve momentum by staying focused, by enduring over time, by allowing God to multiply that work in our lives and in our church. And we've been trying to take control of our lives, take control of our finances. We know that the reality is that right now in America, the normal way of life is to be broke. And we don't want to be normal anymore. We would rather live that financial peace. And so we were trying to look for a new kind of normal to experience peace in our lives. The problem is, goes back to this word contentment, we like stuff. If I was really brave and we weren't in church, I'd show you an entire comedy routine that George Carlin once did about stuff and our relationship with stuff and how we have to get more stuff and then we have to buy places, bigger houses to put our stuff in and then just get more and more stuff. I can't show that to you, but just use your imagination and enjoy. We were bombarded last week watching the Super Bowl with ads for more stuff. That Maserati commercial just got me really fired up about a car that I'll never be able to own, but I had to have it, you know, because it's stuff, and it was great, and it was cool, and it was fun, and all the stuff that we have to have, all the things that we can buy to make our lives better, make us happy. No, they won't. They don't bring us peace. They're just things. And we struggle to find rest for our souls in the midst of a culture that continues to bombard us with messages about the stuff that we need to have. And we struggle to experience true contentment and living life that is centered in Christ and really understanding that that's really enough. Because contentment is found through our faith in Christ. It's not found in anything that we buy or anything that we achieve. Notice that the Jamaicans have a bobsled team again in the Olympics this year. There's a movie made about them many years ago, Cool Runnings, about the first Jamaican bobsled team. There's a great scene in that movie in which John Candy, who is their coach, is talking to one of the competitors, and he's talking about how John Candy had been a bobsled champion, and he had cheated. And that cheating led him to be stripped of all of his accolades. And he said to one of his competitors, he says, you know, if you're not enough without a gold medal, you'll never be enough with one. It doesn't matter how many gold medals one can win. It doesn't matter how many achievements one has. If you're not enough without those things, winning all of these awards, developing, getting all these accolades does not make us any better, any more of who we are. And so friends, as we understand what it means to trust the philosophy and learn the blessings of being content in all circumstances, I want to offer some characteristics of contentment that I think are really important for us to understand. As we seek to live lives like Olympic champions, like champions in life, and trust the philosophy that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The first is this, that contentment truly means trusting God. Contentment is about trusting God. Philippians 4:19 reminds us, my God will meet your need, all your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. Our God will meet all of our needs. We have to trust God to do that. Trust God to provide for us. To trust in God's word to teach us. To trust that in Christ, in God, we have everything that we need. Everything else is just a want. Everything else is just something we might like to have. Christ provides us all that we need for our lives and for our faith to experience what this life on earth is really about. Another characteristic of contentment means that we'll be thankful for all that we have. Contentment means being thankful for all that we have. To go back to Paul, he said, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Learning how to be thankful for what we have, to be grateful for the blessings in our lives, learning to appreciate what it is that we have in our lives. Even when somebody else gets something that looks better, even when somebody else says something that makes maybe we'd like to have, learning to be thankful for the things that we have, learning to appreciate them, learning to be grateful for them, learning to live with that rather than constantly pursuing more and more and more. And finally, contentment means being generous in all circumstances. Psalm 24:1 reminds us, the earth is the Lord and Lord's and everything in it. All who live in it, everything here is God's. It all belongs to God. We are simply a part of God's creation. We are called to a special task of managing on God's behalf, but it all belongs to God. God owns it all, and hopefully that shifts our mindset to how we see the things that we have in our lives, that God owns it all. And that giving then shows our contentment. It shows our trust that God has given us everything to meet our needs. It shows that we have gratitude and thankfulness for the things in our lives, and that we are happy to be obedient and to participate in the work of God. It shows that when we're focused on what God wants, it leads to greater opportunities to share in what God is doing in our world. One of the athletes in Russia this next couple of weeks is Johnny Quinn, who is a native of McKinney. Went to McKinney High School and then went on to North Texas. When I was living in Denton, we followed his football career at North Texas. He's now a member of the U.S. bobsled team. Johnny wanted to be a football player. He wanted to be a pro football player, and he tried his best to do that, and it just did not work out for him. And when he was in high school, he was not the biggest, strongest kid on the football team. In fact, his coach said that he was sort of a late developer, and he wasn't this big star that everybody knew was going to be a great star from the day that he stepped foot in the high school. He had to work his way onto the team. He had to earn his spot on the team. And what his coach said about him was that he would do everything necessary to help the team. And so when the pass play wasn't going his way, he would always block for his teammate. He was always in the right spot to make the block. He was always in the right spot to do the extra thing for the team in order for the team to be successful. I watched him at North Texas, and I saw the same thing. And he was a great, great football player at North Texas, but he also played his position. He blocked for the running backs. He did everything in practice that he was asked to do. He became a team leader because he bought into the philosophy that the team was bigger than him. And it didn't matter how many records he might end up owning. If the team wasn't successful, what was the point? And he led North Texas to having some of its great, great seasons in the 2000s. And now he's part of the bobsled team, and he's representing his country there, and he's kicking down doors to do it, apparently. And, you know, good for him for being resourceful. Still buying into the philosophy that when you work hard and when you are committed to the philosophy of your coaches and of the program, you can be successful no matter what. Now, in Christ, in our church, in our faith, we trust the philosophy that when our lives are centered on Christ, when we place everything in our lives for His glory and not our own, when we are content no matter where we are, we find, even when things are tough, we find that we have the strength to endure and we have the strength to overcome. So friends, the world's not teaching us contentment. The world teaches us something else. It teaches us to take what we want right now, borrow for what we might want. Instant gratification is what our world wants us to learn. Contentment is not a short-term mindset. It takes a lifetime to develop. It's an active choice. It makes us available to experience life in a new way. Contentment will cause us discomfort at times, to say no to certain opportunities so that we can look to the future and say yes to something else. Contentment doesn't get caught up in the short-term struggles of day-to-day life and having to react to things. Contentment's more of a long-term mindset of delaying gratification and delaying pleasure now for the long-term goal of achieving something and receiving something better later. To find ourselves living in joyful, humble lives, humble contentment, basking in God's grace and God's glory in all things. It's offering what we have and trusting God completely. That's what contentment really is all about. It's trusting God completely in all things, in all circumstances, knowing that God is with us and that we can truly do all things through Christ who gives us strength. A friend of mine was telling me a story of when she was in college. She was with a group of her friends and they met up with a group of boys, and they decided that they wanted to do something kind of crazy and outrageous, so they went to a place in downtown Dallas that offered bungee jumping. And she decided that she was going to try to impress some of these guys by bungee jumping and being the first one to go. So she rode up the elevator to the very top of the platform and got harnessed in. Now, she was fortunate because the person who was operating the bungee jumping attraction was actually a friend of hers. And he was really surprised to see his friend there because she was not the kind of person who would typically submit herself to something like bungee jumping. But there she was, and so he said, "All right, here's how we're going to do this, and this will be the best way for you to do it, and you'll amaze your friends in the process." So he got her harnessed up, and he said, "Now, when you go out to the edge of the platform, most people go out facing the platform, and then they look down. And then their knees start to buckle, and you can see the fear in their eyes, and they get really scared because they're now looking down. And once they jump with the harness, you know, set up, they can't see how much room they've got. All they see is the ground coming up to them, and it's scary. So what you need to do is you actually back up to the edge of the platform like this and stand with your back to it, and then just take the nesty plunge and just fall backwards. So your friends won't see the fear in your eyes. You'll see the bungee cord, so you'll know exactly how much room you've got before it tenses up and pulls you back up. And it looks really cool." So my friend trusted him. And she got out to the edge of the platform. She turned around backwards. And she looked at her friend with the fear in her eyes, but her friends down below couldn't see it. She held out her arms, and she fell straight backwards. And she fell, and she could see the bungee cord pulling her, and then it snapped and pulled her back up, and it was a spectacular, spectacular feat. She got back down, and her friends were shocked and amazed, impressed with her bravery and the fact that she had been able to do that. Well, what allowed her to do that? She had to trust. She had to trust her friend's philosophy that his way of falling off that platform was going to work. Friends, we are invited in our lives many times to take leaps of faith, to fall backwards and trust that God will provide for us. I pray that we might have the courage and the strength to trust that philosophy too, that when we trust God, even those scary leaps of faith that we don't think we can make, God's with us, and God's providing for us, and God will see us through. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we do give you thanks for the many ways that you are providing for us in our lives. Throughout every challenge we face, no matter any obstacle, no matter any problem or struggle that we have, you are with us. Help us, God, to learn to be content in every circumstance, to not get caught up in what everybody else is doing, but to simply bask in what you are doing, to be grateful for the ways that you are living in our lives and providing for us in all things. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into our world and gave us life and the opportunity for new life, and shows us that in him we do have all that we need, all the strength, all the power, all the ability to do anything that you've called us to do. We give you thanks and praise in your name, gracious God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.